On with our idea of talking about growing in our faith this morning. And the fact is, we will grow in our faith. That's what God intends for us to do. And in this reflection, we're remembering that growth in Christ is part of what God intends for us, of course, that we will grow in who Christ is in us, and how Christ represents himself through us to the world. And then he's going to grow the church. You know, he's going to grow the plant. He's watering the plant here in the church. And we're going to speak about that in the next few weeks. There are a few different topics that get covered by this. And of course, when there's idea of the growth, we think of the mustard seed, the little seed, growing into the great bush that in which the birds can take shelter. Or we think of a little acorn, which can be planted and grows into a mighty oak tree. So that's God in his way of giving increase. Now, Paul has shared with the Corinthians about having faith in Christ, and he sees them growing in that faith. He sees their faith increasing, and he says, your faith is not, it's not dead, it's alive. It's an alive and growing thing. Now, we look at the church in Corinth, and if you were on a tour in the Mediterranean, and you were going to look at the old places where the church used to be, well, you might see a ruin of the church in Corinth. But the church in Corinth became the Orthodox church in Greece, and the Greek Orthodox church is a large church. Many churches all over the world. In fact, in Grand Rapids, where I live, they had a large congregation. This is a large Greek Orthodox cathedral somewhere in the world. There are many in Greece itself, but there are also wherever Greek communities are found all over the world, and they have beautiful churches. So that you can see that in Corinth, there was a church that began to grow, but it began to develop and multiply, and that has gone all around the world, just like the mustard seed. It's grown into a mighty tree, just like the oak seed. And what Paul is particularly talking about with the Corinthians is that as they journey in faith, God is going to provide for them to grow in that faith. He will enlarge their hearts. He will grant them insight and wisdom. As it says here, Proverbs, you know, gives us wisdom. But God, throughout his whole scripture, all Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is granting us insight and wisdom. And in our experience with the Holy Spirit, he is granting us insight and wisdom in our minds so that we get enabled to have a vision that goes beyond our current boundaries to greater works that God has in store. God is going to have our faith grow into a stronger and stronger thing. And God will be asking us to go to places and in directions we never expected. Are you moving with God? Are you moving with the Lord? And simple act of just prayer and devotion each day can be part of your moving with God. Just strengthening a relationship that's broken or trying to repair it or trying to reconcile with someone can be part of how you're moving with God. It could be as simple as, I'm going to, you know, renew my approach to my tasks. I'm going to clean my house better. I'm going to sort out my life better. I'm going to organize it. You know, I'm going to try to grow and increase because the Lord wants us to move with him in faith. And our faith is not going to be inward focused, but outward focused. Faith is an outward look, not an inward look. And that's stated by none other than Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody. Does anyone know who Moody is? Anyone? You know that who is Paul from the... But the Barners. Is the Barners? Paul Barner? Comes and visits here from Philippines, from Davao. His daughter went to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. It's named after Dwight Moody, who was a great evangelist. One of the greatest evangelists we've had around the 1900s. He preached the gospel. He reached many people throughout U.S. and U.K. and other parts of the world. And Dwight L. Moody was a man who was used by God So he was one who really knew how God had changed his faith from an inward look to an outward look. And he said, that's what's going to be the result for all of us. All of us are part of that. Let us pray as we ask God to bless our reading of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Dear Lord, we're going to look at this scripture to the Corinthian church and remember that it's a living word, that it's meant to enliven us and make us more ready to move and work with you in our faith, which is a growing and dynamic thing. Lord, may your Spirit mobilize us to receive this word. May it be a benefit to us. May it edify us. And may we truly be encouraged by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 7 to 18, you are judging by appearances. It's about this division between Apollos and Paul. And he's judging them. He's saying, look, don't look at the outward. You are judging by appearances. If anyone is confident that they belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. It's about respect, really. So even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I don't want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters, for some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. So he's addressing some criticism coming to Paul, saying, your letters are all full of fire and brimstone, but you and as a person are kind of wimpy, kind of too quiet, too gentle. Paul says, such people should realize that we are in our letters what we are when we are absent. We will be in our actions when we are present. In other words, Paul is saying, what I say in my letters is who I am as a person, and I will be like that when I'm with you. Verse 12, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. You know, what he's saying is it's kind of an endless loop, you know. I'm great because I'm great. Aren't I the best in the world, you know? And if you got your own echo chamber, that's not the right place to hear it. He says you've got to be wise and humble. Consider yourself in context. Paul's saying then in verse 13, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. In other words, Paul's saying, I'm going to talk about my work in the Lord. I planted churches in Ephesus, and I'm planting a church in Corinth, and I've been in Athens and in other cities around the area, and I preach the gospel, and I've seen results. And he said, I'm going to talk about my results. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. In other words, Paul was there, and he preached it, and he shared it, and he saw them respond. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory. But let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. This is reading of God's word. Thanks be to him. Remember what Paul says there in the verse. He says, our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand. And I begin my sermon again talking about growth because sometimes we doubt ourselves and our ability to grow. Sometimes we think maybe we've not been very effective at what God is calling us to do, or we feel like we're on the margins, or we feel like we're not really that important. And maybe we doubt ourselves. Or maybe we wonder if there's enough change in our life pleasing to God. Are we moving in God's direction or not? And maybe sometimes we doubt that as well. Or we may be tempted to think it's true, this voice in our head saying, that we are useless and unworthy. Useless and unworthy. And if that is the case, if you struggle with those doubts, if you ever are wondering or not sure, if you're tempted to think those things, then listen to this. Listen carefully to this. Once you follow Jesus, once you follow him and you seek to love him and please Jesus and please him and make him first, you need not worry about anything but being found faithful in that. In other words, put Jesus first. Make him your number one agenda item. God will then provide growth and development that you need to walk the walk, to talk the talk, to be what Jesus Christ is calling you to be. God gives growth and development. That's what he does. And he does this because you are God's field. You are God's building. God is concerned about you and your effectiveness because you are one of his called ones. He wants you to go out and be fruitful. He's not going to leave you alone. He wants you, as you're grafted in Christ, you are receiving the power of the Holy Spirit to renew you and reform you and transform you. In fact, to produce the fruit God wants to produce from you. And there are different kinds of growth that do happen in our relationship with Jesus Christ. In our Christian growth, some of it can be in what I'm talking about, faith. Some of it can be in love. Something can be in knowledge. It can be in these variety of things. But what's most important to remember in all of this growth is that God provides it. It's in his own nature, the nature of creation, to have things grow from one measure to another. To grow from that tiny mustard seed into a large plant. To grow from the tiny acorn into a large oak tree. And he's having you be part of that. Remember that. You are part of that. Your faith is not static, but it's dynamic. It's not a static faith. It's a dynamic faith, trusting in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. And I put him first. And we're going to continue to review what kinds of growth there are in our faith. Because living with Jesus means that you will grow. Because he is a one who delivers a dynamic to us that gives us the ability to grow and be stronger all the time. And if we are not growing more, we need to look carefully at how we are grafted into Christ. We need to remember that to keep Jesus first on our agenda. And we need to ask that question, you know. Lord, you are first on my agenda, and I need to remember that as I go through my day-to-day life. God does not want to leave us in a static place or make us run-of-the-mill. You know what run-of-the-mill is. Run-of-the-mill is something ordinary, something common, not something special. For example, I want to buy a run-of-the-mill car. Well, no one likes that, you know. Everyone likes to buy their dream car, right? The sports car with the right color, and you know, all the right features, you know. And it might be just another kind of car that's your dream car, not a run-of-the-mill. Or maybe, you know, you don't say to yourself, I want to buy a run-of-the-mill laptop. I want to build one that's really working good and fast and really has the ability to respond and do all the things I want it to do. And a new restaurant, you don't want it to be just run-of-the-mill. You want it to be special. You want it to have a bit of pizzazz. That's why McDonald's, Wendy's, Pizza, they're always offering something new because they want to keep pizzazz. They want to say it's run-of-the-mill. Same with you and God. God does not want to leave you static or in a run-of-the-mill kind of Christian. He wants you to expand and grow. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be involved providing, greater space for God's presence and work in our life and in our sphere of influence. He's going to expand our faith. He's going to grow it. He wants us to be continually creating greater space for God. And remember, that was a great text by a writer, a teacher, was creating space for God. And that is about, you know, devotion and about listening to Christian music. It's about making sure in the space of your life you're remembering to be grateful for what God gives. which is why we have Thanksgiving every fall, and part of that is remembering the harvest, you know. The God will make greater space in you for his presence and for his work and for making you more influential in what you do. In this passage, Paul's eager to compliment and praise the growth in the Corinthians' faith life. So 1 Corinthians 10 verse 15 says, "Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand." Paul is gripped by God's vision for greater things. And he sees the strategic value of their growing faith in their mission that God wants to send them out for. Paul sees the city of Corinth for what it is. It's a center of trade. Much trade goes and comes into Corinth through shipping, through all the harvest of fields around it. You know, it becomes an important center for learning, for government, for all kinds of things. And he sees it, that it's an influential place, and that it's a center from which the gospel will spread. So that it will not be a dead end, but it will be something that's going to grow. You see, Paul understands that God is on the move, and he has faith for God to reach an ever greater widening circle of places and peoples and tribes and tongues that transcends all boundaries. You see, Paul knows that there's a mission that's possible, right? Everyone knows the name of the movies with Cruise. Mission Impossible, but this is about Mission Possible. Paul has this idea that the mission of God is possible to reach into the very heart of Rome, into the city streets of Corinth, into the heart of Ephesus, and then throughout Ephesus, through that whole region of what has become now Turkey, through all of Greece, into that whole area we call the Balkans and the Balkan Peninsula, into Rome and through Italy and through France and through Spain and all of those territories. Paul has a vision that it's going to be carrying on, and he knows God is on the move, and God is not going to stop. God said that I'm going to bring my gospel to the furthest islands. So within Paul's vision of the mission possible, he's already envisioning the gospel going to the furthest part of Europe, which is Ireland, where Patrick, St. Patrick's Day, ended up bringing the gospel, and from the place of Ireland, it was spread throughout the Europe, which became dark in the dark ages, which really aren't dark at all. There was light going. There was Christian truth and gospel being shared and growing. And people were coming to faith, and their faith was growing. And they were then realizing there are other fields to go to. God is going to start in Corinth, but he's going to move well beyond it. And in the very passage we're thinking about in Corinthians, Paul is talking about the faith increasing, and he says their sphere of activity being enlarged, and about abundance. There are three key words that Paul uses in the Greek that he's talking about, and they're very important to him in this mission possible idea. Your faith will increase, your life in Christ will enlarge, and there will be greater abundance in your harvest in what God is doing with you and in you. I want to highlight the beauty of faith and its growing in the example of the fact that everyone is called to share the gospel everywhere. And going beyond our limits and our boundaries, God is going to move us to a place where we haven't seen him limited, but unlimited. God wants to move us way beyond our current setting. And I'm celebrating this through the faith of Martin Luther. Now, we've just had October 31st, which is Halloween, we know, but it's also Reformation Day. And one of the celebrations is of Martin Luther and his faith in what he did and what he started and the Reformation in about 1520, many, many years ago. What Martin Luther started to do was question long-held beliefs based, long-held beliefs in the church that he was part of. He was a monk seeking to be holy for God, but he felt there was no satisfaction. He couldn't find himself righteous. He couldn't work himself hard enough in prayer, in making the monastery cleanly, in punishing himself, his fleshly desires and appetites. He just felt he could never reach the point where he was holy enough or deep enough in faith. And he realized that scriptural teaching was telling him that it was by his faith and trust in Christ alone that he is made worthy. That's what Martin Luther came to know and understand. And he said, the scripture teaches clearly that by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, I have a new beginning. I can enter into a new worldview in which God is it, you know, God is God's heart and his mind are what I'm involved, I'm busy with, God's heart and God's mind. And he said, what has been going on in the church has been trying to control people and in the end get money from them. So he ends up confronting the emperor and the bishops of his church, all the high and mighty people who are in charge of the Christian church in Europe. And he says, no, we should each of us be reading the scriptures, coming to our own conclusion. And he began to print his ideas on the newly found printing press called the Gutenberg Press. And the Gutenberg Bible came out of this. And what happened is his pamphlets were being printed by thousands and thousands, and they began to be spread, and people were beginning to learn how to read. Many, many people had been illiterate. And as they began to learn how to read, they began to share his word and his ideas that faith is in Christ alone delivers you and sets you free. And so they began to be wanting more and more of this. They began to want freedom. And his ideas spread like wildfire throughout Europe. And what Martin Luther began as just an individual little monk in Germany, a nobody who had no status. He wasn't a prince. He wasn't a bishop. He wasn't anything else. He became a teacher of theology in Wittenberg, this little town in northern Germany. And his ideas transformed, started a revolution that continues to this day. That we love the scripture. And we want it to be sold, and you know, Faith Bookstore has many Bibles on the shelves, and you should have a Bible. The Bible's been translated in many versions. It's just so that we can have more clear reading. And the scripture has come to us, and we are to read it and to understand it and ask the Holy Spirit for understanding of it. Martin Luther's faith grew by leaps and bounds, and he's a wonderful example of his growing in the faith and the mission that Paul was talking about in Corinth has been shared in throughout the world, really. This is so true about the history of the Christian faith. There's always been a growth in it. It moves and adapts and overcomes and becomes transcendent because God desires to reach all nations and peoples everywhere with the precious good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. So if you go back in church history, it's an amazing story of that mission going and the boundaries being broken, and faith is not static, but it's growing, and people are being profoundly affected by it. You know, the quote by Dwight L. Moody could be repeated by Billy Graham, could be repeated by others who preached throughout time and history, and they had huge impacts. Now, even so, there's even testimony right now, today, because I was just learning yesterday that there is a faith growing in France. France has been very secular. It's the church has kind of dwindled away. People don't go there to church very much. But this woman went and investigated. This journalist said, there are big churches in France, and there are many, many, many of them. She said, there are many young people, they're filling up, and they're coming to faith. He says, you wouldn't expect it. In a place of dwindling faith, is now becoming more and more a place of many new churches, and people are praising God and glorifying his holy name in many ways, and there's a movement among younger generations to the Lord. That is God and his mission. And then, of course, in church history, faith has made people become missionaries from the late 1900s to now, to Africa and to China. At one time, the Christian Reformed Church, of which we're part of, wanted to do a mission work. Well, the first place they started doing missions was to Native American tribes in Arizona. They sent missionaries down to the Zunis down there in the United States. But ultimately, they decided, well, we need to send missionaries elsewhere. One of their missionaries was Johanna Veenstra, and she went to West Africa. And the church that they planted in Nigeria became 10 times as big as the Christian Reformed Church has ever been, because it just grew. And then missionaries, they wanted to send them to China. And people have heard of the China Inland Mission. And people went to China and were sharing the gospel. And one day, the communists took over in 1949. They kicked every Western missionary out, and everyone thought, that's the end of it. There'll be no church left in China. Well, the church in China never stopped growing. The underground church grew so that there are millions and millions of Chinese who are Christians, and it's still growing to this day. Because God is not going to stay still. In Africa, it's the largest, fastest growing church in the world. And the numbers are incredible. And, of course, missionaries went to Korea, for example. And, you know, they'll hold conferences in South Korea, in Seoul, Korea. And the church will be 50,000, 60,000 strong of Koreans who came to the Lord, came to faith, because God's mission never ceases. And even now, what I put on the screen is about somebody in a network, a multiplication network, saying 10,000 new churches have been started in just 1 year. And this is happening in India. It's happening in Africa and Russia, you know, South America, all over the world. There are great challenges in front of the church, such as in the Democratic Republic of Congo. There are many Islamic jihadists, they call them, who are a radical element of Islam. They're attacking churches and killing Christians and burning them in the middle of Africa. But there are also many, many conversions and growth in the church. The task is far from finished. So let us be striving evermore to the goal of reaching all nations everywhere throughout the whole wide earth. Because we are all missionaries. We are all missionaries called to be part of this faith which is growing and being more fruitful. And our mission is to be a missionary in our own neighborhoods, in our own sphere of influence, in our families, amongst our friends, amongst our colleagues at work. We are all missionaries called to just say, I love Jesus, and he's first in my agenda, and I'm following him. And I believe that the Bible is God's word, a revelation from him for us to learn about and to follow. And that if we did practically follow the Ten Commandments, we really made them part of our life, not coveting, not bearing false witness, loving God, loving our neighbor as ourself, we will have a transformed life. Love will be at the center, and it will burn like a fire that will bless others. And what we are really doing is having God's heart and having God's vision for the world. When we trust in the Lord, he will not leave us static, but he will have us be involved in a dynamic faith that continues to grow. And Jesus Christ is our greatest cheerleader, of course. So let us follow him and trust in him now and forever. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you so much that we can celebrate the amazing story of the history of the church. And even now, Lord, we want the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, as you the Father, to be what steadies our life, that we are unified in our praise to you, one God, who's manifest to us in three persons, but that we recognize the essence of each person, but the unity of you as the Godhead. We give you honor and praise and glory, O Lord, and know that you are Lord of lords and King of kings. And you are called to rule over every square inch of this planet Earth. Here in Guam, throughout all the Micronesian Islands, throughout all the Pacific, Lord, throughout every part of this amazing, diverse, and incredible world. We are, Lord, so sorry this morning to pray about the situations where there's darkness, where there's hostility, where there's enmity. We are grieving, Lord, because sometimes we know it. We feel it ourselves. The ridicule, skepticism, which may discourage us. But we pray that you will help us to remember that Jesus is our greatest cheerleader. He loves us, gave his life for us, and he asks us to pour out our love and our life for the sake of this world. In his holy name we pray. Amen.